The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I remember there came a day that my mother took my sister and my stepbrother and sister to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. She said we were going for physicals. Three of us were going for physicals, but I was going for a mental evaluation because I just couldn't learn. Because I was told every day, you're ignorant. You will never amount to anything.
Every season of life came with obstacles that seemed insurmountable, but Benny Tate continues to defy the odds.
Really glad you're here. Defy the odds. Now, hang on. I'm James Robinson. This is Betty. I need to tell you something. God is about to take back oversight of his garden. It's not Eden. Heaven and earth is the Lord's. It's his earth. Planet earth is his garden. He's about to take it back. Our guest is Benny Tate. I think it's Rock Springs, is that right?
That's it, Rock Springs.
Yeah, sure. It's in close to Atlanta.
Yes, south of Atlanta.
South, and Jensen is north.
Yes.
So y'all got Georgia handled, right?
Hopefully.
Well, you are a man who defied the odds. I want to ask you, Benny, when you talk about odds, and by the way, Jensen Franklin has written the foreword to this. I want you to take us on a quick journey. We got about 15, 16 minutes. That's a long time. That's a long time for television.
Right.
With a book. You know, Glenn Beck will give you 5 minutes.
And sure.
Oprah used to give you maybe 10 or 12.
Right.
But here's the deal. I want you to take us through the story where you know it'll bless people because they face odds too.
That's right.
Show us the odds you faced and show us what God did with those odds because you have defied them in his power. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, Brother James, Booker T. Washington said, you don't judge a person's success by what they accomplish in life, but rather by the obstacles they overcome to accomplish whatever they accomplish. And there used to be a columnist by the name of Ann Landers. You probably remember Ann Landers.
Hey, let's face it, we've been around.
Ann Landers, okay. She was a columnist for 56 years, and she was asked the question, what is the number one question that you're asked? What's the number one question? You get 12 million letters a week. 12 million letters a year, excuse me. Yes. What's the number one question? And she said the number one question is, what's wrong with me? Mm. What's wrong with me?
Wow.
So people have odds that they need to defy. Let me tell you a story.
By the way, isn't the enemy the liar? Isn't he the accuser?
Sure he is.
He just pours it on us.
Sure he is. James, my mother had a sixth grade education, and she met a man, and spent a night, maybe two, with this man. To make a long story short, I was conceived. And she had two children. She had no daddies, but she had babies, and she had a sixth grade education. So she goes to a Pentecostal lady by the name of Miss Jenny Travis, and she says to Jenny Travis, I have a baby, I have a little boy, and I need help with him. And Miss Jenny said, what's his name? And Mama said, his name is Vincent, V-I-N-C-N-T. This Tennessee lady said, I can't pronounce that, but can I call him Benny? And James, she started calling me Benny, but she did something, Betty, so more important than that. She would place her hands on me. And she would say, God, I believe you've got a special plan for this baby's life. I believe, God, that you're going to use this baby's life. I believe you're going to raise this baby up as a man of God, and he's going to preach your word. I just believe that. And I lived a few years with Jenny Travis, and eventually my mother came back. James, she came back with a man, I guess you could say he was my stepfather. He was the man that when I was in my mother's womb, he took her to a medical clinic and said, we're going to take care of this baby. We're going to end this baby's life. And my little sixth grade education mother ran out of the clinic. Wow. And she said, nobody's going to take my baby's life. Nobody's going to take my baby's life. But they came back to get me, James and Betty. And I was raised up by that stepfather. Just about every day of my life, he would remind me that I was illegitimate, but he would use another word. He would remind me that I was ignorant. He would tell me.
He used the word that started with a B.
He used the word that started with a B. I heard it more times than I care to remember. He told me that would never amount to anything in life. And, you know, death and life's in the power of the tongue. Death and life. See, God created this world with words. Mm-hmm. Words are powerful. Your words are powerful. Miss Betty, I started believing that. Mm. I started believing I couldn't learn. And I remember there came a day that my mother took my sister and my stepbrother and sister to Murfreesboro, Tennessee. She said we were going for physicals. Three of us were going for physicals, but I was going for a mental evaluation because I just couldn't learn, because I was told every day, you're ignorant. You will never amount to anything. This man was physically abusive. He was physically abusive to me. He was physically abusive to my mother. He would beat my mother. My mother said to me, he would always say to me, when I get through your face, when I get through beating your face, no man will ever look at you. When I get through your face, you'll never get another man, because no man would have you. So James and Betty, that's the environment that I lived in. And we probably left 15 times. We would leave during the middle of the night. Mom would grab your clothes and we would leave. And we would always go back. And I remember finally saying to Mama, Mama, why did we always go back? She said, Benny, I just had a sixth grade education. And I didn't have anywhere to go. And that's why James, at our church, I started homes like the Potter's House for women and Melba's Manor for unwed mothers, because girls and ladies need a place to go. But we lived in that and eventually left. But when we left, things didn't get a whole lot better. We started living in nightclubs. We sold whiskey illegally. It was just a dysfunction. We didn't know anything about church. I was never in church with Mom. There was no church background. And I remember the day came that my mother went to bed. I can still remember as a boy going to my mother's bed. And
how old do you think you were then?
I would have been about 15. I go to my mother's bed and she won't get out of bed. And I said, Mama, what's wrong? And I didn't know, but she'd had a relationship that had gone south. And James, we'd had so much hell that she decided just to end her life. She said, life's not worth living. So she decides she doesn't want me to find her. So Betty, she puts a pistol in her pocketbook. She drives to her first cousin's house that she had partied and caroused with. She knocked on the door of that first cousin's house and she said, can I spend the night with you? Just planning on doing one thing. And that first cousin said, yes, you can. But I want you to know something. I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not the person that partied and caroused with you. I've gone down to Temple Baptist Church and Jesus has changed my life. And more than anything, you need Jesus to change your life. And she began to talk with my mother and she said, can I call our pastor and let our pastor come and talk with you? And she called the pastor, Miss Betty, and that pastor came and he led my mother to faith in Jesus Christ. I've often said the place where my mother went to end her life, she found life. She found abundant life. She found eternal life. She found life. Brother James, the next morning, somebody said, you may not believe what Benny Tate believes, but you'll believe he believes what he believes. The next morning, my mother poured up. She's got red hair. She got out of that car. She started walking toward me, and she looked different. My mother looked different. She walked into that house. And she said, Benny, I want you to know, we shouldn't have lived like we lived. We shouldn't have lived like we lived. But I want you to know, you've got a new mother. You've got a new mother. Your mother got saved last night. And my sixth grade education mother, Betty, I would go to bed and I'd get into the bed and I'd hear her saying, praying things like this. God, Benny's been out doing stuff he shouldn't be out doing. But God, I want you to save my boy. God, I want you to save my boy. God, I want you to deal with his heart. And that went on for quite some time. And one night about midnight, I said, Mom, I can't take it anymore. I still believe conviction's real. God dealt with my heart. I said, Mom, I can't take it anymore. I said, Mom, I want to give my life to Christ. She said, let's call the pastor. As a 16-year-old boy, I knelt by a couch. And the pastor said, we got to pray. His name was Clayton Jones. I said, Clayton, I don't know how to pray. He said, put your hands in mine. And he led me in the sinner's prayer. He led me in the sinner's prayer. And salvation changed my life. I am so grateful that God thought it. Jesus brought it. The blood bought it. The Bible taught it. The Holy Spirit wrought it. The devil fought it. But this old boy caught it. I'm glad I got saved. Miss Betty and James, he radically changed my life. James, after a little while, as dysfunctional as we could be, I said, Mama, God's called me to preach. God's called me to preach. I wouldn't give a book report in school. I'd take an F rather than give a book report. People would come. I'd hide under the bed. I'd run for the back door. I was so timid and shy. But I said, Mama, God's called me to preach. She said, well, boy, you need to preach.
I want you to stop right here. The only way you stop the lawlessness is changed hearts.
That's right.
What happened to his mother? That cousin, was it a cousin?
Yes, first cousin.
What happened to Benny? This man's a miracle. And please get this now. That's why I had to stop. God wants you to be the miracle.
That's exactly right.
You are watching this program for one reason. God loves you.
That's right.
The most gifted speakers can't show you how much he loves you. He put that love on a cross.
That's exactly right.
But he wants to take you in those loving arms and change your life. Would you let him? Would you just say, God, you had to love me to give you something for me. I give you my broken life, my hurt heart. I put it in your hands. Shape me in an image that looks like Jesus, like Benny, like his mother, like you did me. Benny, we're listening to a miracle right here.
Absolutely.
You heard those same things from the enemy. I want you to keep on listening. You gave your life to the Lord. You call that number. I don't want you to stop listening. But you tell them, I gave my life to, I'm going to send you a book. It's a Bible study, and it's a little bit of my testimony. Knowing God as Father. I'll send it to you. You just tell us, I just gave my life to God. Continue the story, Benny.
Brother James, as I said, I said, Mama, God's called me to preach. She said, you think so? And I said, I really do. It's not something that I want to do.
A shy kid, that's what
yes,
it was.
Yes, just a shy kid. So I started preaching, James. And James, I would preach messages out of the book of Spasm. I'd get up and say, take your Bible to the book of Spasm. I mean,
That's how you pronounce Psalms. That's
how it was pronounced.
Did you preach out of the book of Job?
Oh, yes, I preached out of the book of Job. One night, James, a lady in the church, Miss Betty, she said, Preacher Benny, what is this? What is the epistles? And I said, that's the apostles' wives. I mean, James, I literally knew nothing. But this is what I know. God is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability.
Yeah, that's great.
Somebody said, I'm praying for God to use me. No. You just get usable and he'll wear you out. Because God wants to use Betty. God wants to use James.
I'm going to retire and turn this thing over to Pastor Benny, okay? Well, no, retire's not in the Bible. Don't let it get in your mind or heart. Go ahead.
Betty, he's not going to retire. He's going to refire. I tell you, he's not going to retire. But so I started, Miss Betty, and I'm just preaching, and I reached 30 years of age. I'm preaching literally on street corners. You know, I started out on street corners. I started out in jails. You know, I just started anywhere people would let me preach. But eventually, I reached 30. And my sister says to me, remember I told you she had two kids. She said, Benny, somebody wants to meet you. I said, somebody wants to meet me? Who would want to meet me? She said, your biological father. I said, I'm 30. I've never met him. I never had a daddy. I would sure like to see him.
Gosh.
And she said, you've got to go to a restaurant in Nashville, Tennessee, and you're going to meet your biological father for the first time. And so, Miss Betty, I drive to the restaurant. They describe what he's going to look like. And we spend about an hour together, and he starts telling me. He said, you know, I was a professional gambler. I traveled the world playing cards. He said, I ran a whiskey ring. He said, you know, I spent quite a bit of time in the pen. He said, I've lived a rough life. Very, very. And then we talked a little more, and I said, but let me ask you something. I said, Don, I want to ask you the most important question. Are you a Christian? He said, yes, I staggered into a church about 2 years ago. I gave my life to Christ. Wow. And he said, many times in these 2 years, I've came to hear you preach. He said, and you'd be signing books, and you'd have cassettes. And he said, I'd get everything on your table. I said, I hope you paid for it. And he said, yeah, I'd get everything on your table. And then he said, as we wrapped up, he said, I want to tell you three things. I said, okay. He said, number one, I'm dying. He said, number two, we've spent no time together here on earth. Maybe we can spend heaven together. And he said, number three, he said, when I met your mother, I was deep in sin. Your mother was not a Christian. But he said, God has used you all over the nation. And he said, I've often thought, what your mother and I meant for evil, God meant for good. God meant for good.
Benny, I love you so much.
I love you, James.
I love Jesus in you. He's all over you. Our stories are so similar. Yeah. It probably is one reason Richard Lee wanted us to know each other, really. Richard, we love you there in Atlanta. Tell everybody where your church is, because the people in the Atlanta area, and a lot of people in Georgia, need to go and get to know you and your Jesus.
James, the book is Defy the Odds. My church is in Milner, Georgia, population 600 people.
Oh, yeah.
James, look, our zip code is EIEIO. I mean, no. James, the June...
We got a country western daughter over here just to...
No. The June bugs don't show up till August. So look, it's Defy the Odds, Milner, Georgia, but Sunday, I'm just telling you Sunday, 7,400 people.
Glory!
7,400 people. So I want churches out there. Yeah. I want preachers.
Yes.
I want people to know you can defy the odds.
We're giving away a cup of journal. And listen, if you want this book, we will send it to any one of you who will just become an answer and set free a girl that's being trafficked by sex traffickers. They're basically locked up. You're going to see that in a minute. You help us set them free. You want this, and you want to use this message to set a lot of people free? You make any gift to give people the gift of freedom, and we'll send it to you today. All right, I got to cut to the chase here. Listen to me. We haven't had a better program. We don't have bad programs. We have great programs. This is incredible. Let's defy the odds. I want you to set some people free right now. I want you to just see some girls that are held captive and used for sex objects. Somebody's toy, never loved. We have built what you've built for children. Uh-huh. It's a destiny house. It's huge. We have set that. We have our overseers of mission outreach. 1,000 girls have been set free since the last time.
Praise God.
You them. Totally.
Praise
totally
God.
Totally set free from traffic. Watch this. Watch it. You're the answer.
This is a prison. Not a real prison run by a government and police officers, but it is a prison nonetheless. Room after room contains not much more than a bed. Depraved visitors to these types of prisons pour millions of dollars into human trafficking worldwide. The prisoners are scared young girls held captive by violent slave traders. But the prisoners that live here did nothing wrong. They have broken no laws. The girl in cell 4D is innocent. Jesus told us that the captives will be released and the oppressed will be set free. The mission of Rescue Life is to be the hands and feet of Jesus, so together we can rescue enslaved girls around the world.
Betty, we are the ones who can set them free, the people right there.
Absolutely. You know, as I watch that, my heart just really breaks. There are no words to express how it breaks my heart to see what's going on there. These are the true innocent ones. These young girls, children is what they are. And they're being taken and abused and used and no control over anything in their lives. And they're being mistreated and they're being used like they're just not even human unto themselves. And I think about that and I think, we have two beautiful daughters. We have beautiful granddaughters. We have beautiful great-granddaughters. I can't even imagine what would happen if I saw someone treating one of my loved ones like that. There'd be nothing left in me that couldn't just fight for every breath and the right to get them back and to give them a life that they deserve and love. These girls deserve love. They have no love coming their way, but there is an opportunity for you to express love for them.
Yes.
In any way that you can, as much as you can give to help. Let's get these girls out of this trafficking. Let's give them a life and show them God's love. Let's show them peace and joy. Let's allow them to be the little girls that they should be and not just tortured and abused and thrown away like trash. Please join us and let's make the difference. I know you will.
Everything you heard from Pastor Benny is what God does. I walked out on our patio and I'm having such sweet fellowship with God. He just talks to me. It's louder than out loud. He said, James, you know how I've said to all Christians, don't quench the spirit? Well, when it comes to the spirit of deception, when it comes to that spirit of dissension and death and destruction, you don't think I don't want to quench that spirit. You crush it. Crush that spirit.
Amen.
And that is precisely what we're to do. We're to crush the spirit of the deceiver, the one who takes people captive and uses them like a toy, a plaything. And then the ones who are using them are trapped by that spirit of self-seeking, self-serving lust. And God says, I want to crush it.
That's right.
That's what we do. We set them free.
Yes.
And we're reaching out to the people that are trapped, that come by the thousands on 747s from every country in the world to Thailand and other places to use little children. Crush that spirit.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. We have a matching gift for what you give today will be doubled. It's a matching gift of $320,000. Where did that come from? People like you. I want you right now to go to the phone or go online and say, I am going to set a girl free. Do you know what it costs to set one of those, like the 1,000 that just got set free? $128. That's to rescue them, reach them, rescue them, and begin restoring them. Would you right now, knowing that's going to be doubled, I'll rescue one, it's doubled, you rescue two. If you could rescue 10 with $1,280 gift, it'll be 20. It doubles immediately. Everything you do, we have beautiful gifts to send you to say thank you. But you've just given these girls freedom. You've given them life. Life now and eternal. Because we point them to the Jesus that inspired you to touch the least of these, the trapped. Right now, go get your bank card. Use it like a check. Get checkbook. Make it to life. You're giving life. Don't let anything stop you. Please don't delay. What you do will be doubled. Thank God.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking, and a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you the Prayers for Life Journal, the perfect book to write down your prayers as you reflect on your relationship with Christ. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll also receive the NIV Thin Line Bible, along with 365 Days of Prayer for Life, a beautiful devotional filled with scriptures and key thoughts for each day of the year. Keep all three resources close by for your daily prayer time as you meditate on God's Word. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
I am believing with all my heart you just saved lives. Mm-hmm. Like I said, press through, because there'll be people calling to get knowing God as Father. Defy the odds if you want it. I love you, buddy.
I love you too, James.
Let's keep working together to shake up the enemy's kingdom and walk over him, okay?
James, I know of no greater need. I've been the pastor now for 32 years of one church. I know of no greater need than the need that you just described. I want you to know this. Our church and our denomination, I'm here today with my mission director, Don Mapp. He's not only my mission director, but for an entire denomination. We're going to be engaged. We're going to be involved.
Thank you. Thank
because
you.
I know of no greater need that I just watched.
Amen. God bless you. And you know that too. You help us put God's arms around the Overlook. Thank you. Tell your friends to watch tomorrow.
Tomorrow on Life Today, Sheila Walsh reminds us that when life feels out of control, we can trust in who God is. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.